This is such a rich feast, the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that I don't even know where to begin. I already mentioned that it's the anniversary of our founder's ordination to the priesthood, Father Francis. It's also the second joyful mystery of the Rosary, something that we ponder very often. It's also the occasion on which Mary proclaimed her famous canticle, the Magnificat. It's also the time when she is announced as the Mother of the Lord for the first time, at least by a human voice. The angel said it before that. So there's a lot to this. I noticed in the meditation, in the Anuel Way, the meditation notes that this is the second time in a week that a major feast is followed by a Marian feast. Last week, Pentecost was followed immediately by Mary, Mother of the Church. That happens every year now. And this week, the Solemnity of the Holy Trinity yesterday is immediately followed by this Feast of the Visitation. As if the liturgy is telling us, if you want to understand these big feasts, you need Mary to be the one to guide you as you ponder these profound mysteries. That's very clear in the case of Pentecost and Mother of the Church. Mary was there at Pentecost, and she helped the apostles prepare for and interpret this gift of the Holy Spirit. When it comes to yesterday and today, it's not quite so obvious, but it's something to ponder. Yesterday was the Solemnity of the Most Blessed Trinity, the loftiest, the biggest, the most mysterious, in some ways, of all the mysteries, something that reduces us to silence, the mystery of God in Himself. Immediately followed by this feast, which is very practical and physical and earthy. Mary traveling into the hill country, all the hardships of travel, two pregnant women greeting each other. There's nothing more physical than pregnancy. How can you get more physical than that? I mean, it's not a lofty, I mean, it's a marvelous miracle of nature and grace, but it's also a very physical experience to talk about morning sickness and whatever, amniotic fluids and blood and milk and babies leaping in the womb and the physical experience of carrying new life. So it seems far from the mystery of the Trinity, but it's not, because that was the whole point of celebrating the Trinity yesterday. God revealed Himself not as a remote being unconnected to us. He revealed Himself as a community of love, of a rich network of relationships. And this revelation of God as love has inserted Himself into time, and this is the place, the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So the visitation, in some ways, is the first public acknowledgement of this great work of the Trinity. Not that anyone would have thought like that, but certainly Mary knew that she was carrying the Son of God. And Elizabeth knew that she had just met the mother of her Lord. She even says it. How does this happen that the mother of my Lord should come to me, should visit me? So there's so much to reflect on here, the visitation. When I think of this interplay of the very lofty and spiritual and the very physical, practical, timely, I can't help but note how confused our times are when it comes to these things. Because there's a very strong movement now that rejects pregnancy as an exclusively female experience. Only women can be pregnant, it's so obvious to everybody. It's a kind of a quintessential womanly condition, pregnancy, motherhood. But there's this movement that says you can't say pregnant woman anymore, you have to say pregnant person. It's the gender ideology. You don't want to exclude women who identify themselves as men. And so those women who we're supposed to call men now might become pregnant, and then they'd be pregnant men. So rather than discriminate, just say pregnant person. So it's insanity. It's insanity. It's a complete rejection of reality. What are we supposed to call the Feast of the Visitation? The meeting of two pregnant persons? There are obviously two pregnant women here, and that's part of the joy of the encounter. Two pregnant women is a meeting not just of two people, but of four people. The two mothers and the two unborn children. Okay, so we'll leave aside all this insanity. And the reason I mention that is because if we can't accept that women get pregnant, how can we accept the mystery of the Trinity? If we can't accept something so obvious to everybody, how can we accept something that's not obvious to anybody? So that's how far we are from the great mystery we celebrated yesterday. Maybe this feast will bring us back to earth and also ground us in reality. We're not talking about unreality or insanity. We're talking about something very real. God is real, and He is really in our midst. He has visited us by coming into the world through the Blessed Virgin Mary. So Mary visiting Elizabeth is God visiting His people. Mary carrying the Son of God into the hill country is the whole mission of the church, to carry the good news to the whole world. This visitation is something that we experience, Mary bringing Jesus to us, but it's also something that we do. We carry Jesus to others. Oh, this is part of what we celebrate today. I'd like to focus, though, just because we have to choose something, I'd like to focus here on the great hymn or canticle of Mary, which burst out of her at the visitation. Yes, the words of Elizabeth are most profound, and we could reflect on them. That's where we get the Hail Mary, the prayer of the Hail Mary. But Mary's response to this is something we need to ponder again and again. It's the hymn of the lowly ones, of the unawim. It reveals the attitude of anyone who has received great grace and responds properly to it. All of us have received great grace, but we haven't all learned the lesson of the Magnificat. We haven't all rejoiced in the Lord. Sometimes we complain about all the things we don't like. Well, Mary here, now a pregnant young woman far from home, is rejoicing. Not in her own greatness, but in the greatness of the Lord. And this is a perennial instruction to us. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. If you want to ask Mary what she's doing, she's proclaiming the greatness of the Lord. She's rejoicing in God. She doesn't rejoice in anything she has done, that she's doing so such a great thing for her kinswoman. She's rejoicing in the Lord. Why? Because He has looked with favor on His lowly servant. That's how she sees herself. She's a lowly servant. And the reason for her rejoicing is God's greatness to her. That identifies the unwilling. Lowly servant, little, unworthy, unimportant, and yet greatly blessed. God has done great things for us all. So we ponder the Magnificat today. One more thought that I don't want to omit. One of the surprises of this year of St. Joseph was the idea that we encountered in the book on consecration to St. Joseph, the idea that Joseph went with Mary into the hill country, St. Joseph accompanied Mary to visit Elizabeth. I never thought of that. It's a little hard for me to even, because it's not in the scriptures, but it could certainly have happened. It makes some sense, but it certainly opens up possibilities for us to think about Joseph's experience of Mary's pregnancy, because Joseph too experienced visitation. Once, he didn't know it at first, of course, but once Mary is pregnant, once the Word becomes flesh and she's the tabernacle of that great mystery, Joseph is in the presence of God. He doesn't even know. He's in the presence of this tabernacle, and he doesn't even know. So we could ponder what his experience was of Mary going to Elizabeth. If he went with her, which maybe he did, then he was participating in this work of bringing God into the world. He was the guardian of the work of evangelization. St. Joseph would eventually come to know that she was pregnant. He wouldn't have known it at this time, because Mary had just conceived. At least we don't think he knew. How do we know? We don't know what Joseph really knew. But if he was there, he may have heard Elizabeth say, "How does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" So to hear Elizabeth saying to Mary, "She's the mother of my Lord," what would that have meant to Joseph? This woman is the mother of her Lord? What does that mean? In the reflection of Father Calloway, he says, well, Joseph would have kept that in his heart. Wouldn't have understood it, but he would have kept it in his heart. And then when he found out Mary was pregnant, he would have put two and two together, and he would have reflected on the prophecy of Isaiah that the virgin will be with child, and he would have realized this is what Elizabeth was talking about. Mary is the mother of the Savior. And that's why he would have humbly withdrawn or proposed to separate himself out of respect for her. I like bringing Joseph into this, even though we don't know if he was there or not. But it brings the humanity, the practicalities of this event before us. And it's always good to see how God works in concrete situations, very practical needs, because that's what we experience every day. We experience it's a hot day, we experience we need to get the water working, we experience having to prepare our meals or whatever, very practical things, dealing with family members, people who are sick, and that's the context in which God is working all the time. Visitations are not on clouds, on mountaintops. God visits us in ordinary situation. So Joseph is the saint of ordinary situations. As I was reflecting on this, I was trying to think of what would Joseph have thought when Mary wanted to visit Elizabeth? He probably would have wanted to accompany her. And Mary, being a young woman, would have to have somebody with her. Normally, a woman in her situation would be accompanied by either her parents or her husband. That's very practical. So, well, we're the ones now pondering this mystery. So we have St. Joseph with us, accompanying us and serving as a guardian of the mysteries we have received and what we carry in our hearts. It's a great consolation to have this year of St. Joseph. It's an even greater consolation to have Mary revealing to us the inner spirit of the Anawim, teaching us how to proclaim the greatness of the Lord, how to rejoice in God. No matter what the practical, concrete circumstances are, this is always the right response. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord. Rejoice in God, our Savior.